Start Me Up podcast, part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network in association with MSW Media. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is veteran Skyly Heinen. We're going to be talking about today's headlines and a bunch of other stuff, but before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now, please enjoy my conversation with Skyly Heinen. Welcome back to the show, Skyly.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. So glad to be back.
Well, oh my God. You know, every day I wake up and I look at what's going on and I'm like, I just want to go back to sleep. Although I have to say, I'm going to start this off with something last night. Okay, I just have to explain the scenario. So my boyfriend Bob was in his office. I was in the living room and I have my computer with me and I'm scrolling and I see Bob quote tweeted Alex Jones because Alex Jones put up a fucking picture of himself saying, "I eat leftists' ass."
And so
Bob tweeted him and he quote tweeted him and he said something, but I was laughing so hard. So I said it loud enough. I said to Bob, I'm like, "I eat leftists' ass." And Bob's like, "You do?" He knew what I was talking about. But oh my God, it's like he thinks Alex Jones, he doesn't even understand that it was so mock-worthy. And then he corrected it. Did you see the correction this morning?
Or
his comment? I mean, he was basically he's saying, "Oh, all the leftists misunderstood me." It's like, dude, when you have to explain the joke.
No. Exactly. There's your sign.
And I just
they're doing
can't
a documentary about him. They're doing a documentary. I think it's on Netflix about him and the Sandy Hook. So that should be interesting, right?
Yeah. It will be. Oh, okay. Now, speaking of Sandy Hook, I guess you saw that RFK is considering Aaron Rodgers to be his vice president. Did you see that?
It wasn't just Aaron Rodgers. What was the plethora of craziness in there?
Yeah, there was a couple of them, but the Aaron Rodgers specifically, you know, he and Aaron Rodgers said something. He put a statement out on X. I bet it's Twitter. Fuck it, I'm calling it Twitter. You know, it was about Sandy Hook saying how, you know, he knew it was a tragedy and everything, but there was some CNN article talking about how he spoke to a CNN reporter and other people privately and saying how Sandy Hook was, you know, not real and all, and the parents were actors and everything. So, so RFK is considering Aaron Rodgers to be vice president.
He's never going to make it. I literally thought it was like a fake tweet. What am I seeing right now? What?
It's like everything we're seeing.
It's like a board and they threw some shit on the wall and they were like, "Aaron Rodgers, it's stuck. Let's do it."
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The whole thing is completely like 4 million.
Yeah. I'm wondering, and I just quoted, I think I just quoted, I'm not even sure, or tweeted that, you know, like you, how I don't know if I even got to it, but the idea of the fact that I think part of the reason he's choosing him is because he's got 4 million followers on social, on, you know, like on Twitter, and it's popularity, and he thinks, oh well, if I get a really popular social media person on this ticket, that's gonna really give me the, you know, what I need to win.
And it's like, how far gone he's gone. He's just not there. Yeah. He's such an empty vessel of craziness. Like, it's just all crazy. There's no actual thought process when it comes to that guy. Like, he just fell really far off that family tree. Like, really far. He's an embarrassment. But I don't think that'll be a winning ticket. So I don't think anyone's worried.
It's not. And I'm not worried. I mean, initially I was almost a little bit worried about RFK, but I feel like, you know, he's so right wing, basically, that I just, he's not going to take votes away from Democrats. And you know what I think, and maybe you have a different thought on this, but the Jill Stein voters and the, you know, Ralph Nader voters or whoever might be voting for Marianne Williamson or whatever, I don't think those people would vote for the Democrats anyway. You know, I mean, I think, and, you know, maybe a percentage of those voters would have or would vote for a Democrat if it were between just only the two and we didn't allow anybody to enter the race. But yeah, but it's like, I just, because like, I know some people who voted for Jill Stein, and I'm pretty sure they would have not voted for Hillary. They probably just wouldn't have voted. So, exactly. You know, I mean, when it, yeah, and it's like, I feel like so much of the time, people, especially on social media, feel they need to convince those Jill Stein voters. And I feel like, I don't think we're ever going to convince them. I think that there's this huge swath of voters out, or huge swath of potential voters out there. That's who we should focus on, because half the country doesn't vote. And, you know, it's like, I mean, when I say we, I don't know that I am per se, but I think the people who get the vote out need to focus on getting new voters into the poll. And I mean, if we just got the smallest percentage of half the country, it could make a huge difference in our ways. Oh my gosh. You know?
It's ridiculous, but I'm pretty sure we'll probably see the biggest voting swing ever this election, considering all the people that came of age, and also women, you know, a lot of women that are not publicly stating that they are going to vote that way, but they will vote that way. And even men, they may not be voicing it because they don't want to have the conversation, and maybe they don't want to know who people to know that they're going to flip, but they're going to do it, or they won't show up. It's going to be either or.
Right.
So I feel very confident about the election. I am not going to lie. I have no qualms about it. I mean, you look at how 2020 went down. You think of all the stuff that happened since then. Shoot. I am not concerned in any way about our presidential election.
Yeah. The only thing that I would be concerned about are whatever tomfoolery, and that's just a sweet little word to use, we would see from electors or from the right, which I think we have to have a really, we have to do what we did in 2020 or better so that it's not a close election and it, you know, it can't be decided by the Supreme Court, because that can't happen.
Yes. I think that people are much more aware coming this election, and there's a lot more watchdogs on this thing considering what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the scariest thing to me is if it were too close and then they have to, like they did in 2000, send it to the Supreme Court. And at that time, the Supreme Court just handed it to Bush, and they didn't want it to be a precedent. And I know why. It's because it was bullshit. It was a bullshit decision. So, I was going to ask you how you felt. So I feel the same way. I feel pretty confident. I mean, I think like, always don't get happy, but I feel really confident that as long as we all pay attention, as long as we're all doing what we need to do, I think we're going to win handily. But the, you know, like what I worry about, and I want to ask you about this, is the Senate. I think that because we're seeing Republicans behave the way they're behaving, there's a good chance that they could piss off the voters, and maybe the Democrats could win the Senate. But the Democrats
trickle down effect.
Yeah, the House right now, that already looks like we can get that. We have I'd say the path is not as easy to the Senate. So how are you feeling about the Senate? And there is no gerrymandering when you vote for the Senate. Like there is for House, but not for the Senate. So like, what's your gut telling you?
I feel like it'll be blue down the ballot.
Really?
You know, yeah. I mean, I asked my dad, you know, he's like now not even calling himself a Republican. He's a conservative, you know, like he doesn't even want to associate. And he's the only one that told me that he ever recently, and it was more recently that he went, you know, for different parties on the ballot. Most people, majority are so, they only see Democrat. They don't look at the Republicans in between. You know, they just see it all as one big party, and they just vote blue all the way down. And it's like the Beto effect, like in Texas, except Beto didn't win, but people just went, and they went all the way blue down the ballot. And we like picked up so many houses in Congress from Texas. It was ridiculous. We just didn't pick up the Senate.
Right.
So,
and, you know,
I think it'll be the same way.
Interesting, because what was I just going to say? I think with Texas specifically, you know, I remember hearing, I'm just trying to remember where I heard it, but I've heard stories where people in Texas, you know, like prior to Beto said, you know, we just didn't feel like our vote counted. So we never bothered to vote just because it's this red state and we never win anything. And then, you know, like you just pointed out, the Beto effect happens and it actually trickles down. So, yeah, well, I mean, that's a really, I hope so. I am not confident right now about the Senate, but I would like to be. But I mean, I hope that that's, I just think that there is a path because there's going to be so much fucking lunacy. I can't imagine, you know what I mean? Like, look how crazy
things
are today.
It's such a small amount of time. Yeah. And we've already had the lunacy since the last election. It just keeps compiling.
Yes, it keeps going. And they like double down when they make bad decisions, like getting rid of abortion, they double down on it. And it's like the people in this country. All of it. Yeah. IVF. And
now you've trickled across party lines. Right. Now you're actually affecting the vote across party. That was the worst and the best thing that could have happened to us. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
it woke so many people. Even my mother, who is full, she's a Trumper. Like, she's still a Trumper. My dad will say, don't ever tell anyone I voted for Trump. It's two different things. My mom is a Fox News watcher. My dad is a reality person. He learns from his mistakes. You know what I mean? And she told me, she goes, what the are they doing messing with IVF? Like, how stupid are you? Yeah. Like, she's like, she said, please, first of all, please explain to me. And I did. And she goes, this is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. And I was like, well, apparently you don't listen enough because it's dumb all day, every day. But they have now sincerely reached across party lines and they're affecting women and families. So that's going to also have an impact. I see it.
Yes. Okay. So there's that. And then freaking Larry Trump is the RNC chair. And so it's like, or co-chair, I guess. There were mass firings. Of course, we can expect to see that if Donald Trump were to ever get in office. But I think we all know what this means. Money from the RNC is going to go to Trump's legal bills, and it's not going to go to those down ballot. Yeah, it's not going to go to those down ballot tickets. And so it's interesting because the Democrats keep raising money and the Republicans are just like bleeding it from their base. Yeah. And giving it to Donald. It's unbelievable. Well,
not only that, but like, I always use my dad as a really good gauge because he was a Trump, you know, voter. Just watching him like kilter, I use him as my gauge. And he said the RNC had lost their mind when the George Santos got voted in. So people have seen that and they have lost faith in the RNC, and the RNC is not getting the funding that it normally does because of that right there. So you bring that in, and then you bring the fact that they're using it to siphon Trump's legal defenses. Like, people are going to put two and two together, the ones that are smart and pay attention to the facts, you know, those conservatives that, you know, my dad's already told me he will vote for Biden. Like, he said, absolutely, there's no way I could ever bring that man back into any type of power. He's absolutely mad and insane. And he admitted to me that he crossed over for Clinton. And that was because Clinton was helping the oil field. Well, now it's come down to morals in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, let me
ask you, though, with your dad, so did he vote for Trump in 2016?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And we didn't talk. We fought for 4 years.
Wow. That must have been really hard.
It was horrible. It was horrible. It was ridiculous. And it happened to so many families. So many families that man came in and just destroyed. And, you know, my dad is my biggest supporter besides my husband. And before even he started to go all, you know, lean, he's always respected my work in veterans advocacy. But now he's like, okay, you know what? I see why you're saying what you're saying. You know, like, I'm now his, you know, source of reliable information. When he used to be mine, it's like the tables have turned, you know. But I mean, I see a lot of hidden factors for this election that, new people to vote, people that are not going to publicly say how they're going to vote, and people that are just not going to show up to vote. And I see those all contributing towards a win for Biden. Huge win. I mean, 2020 was 8 matches. Can't even imagine. the difference this year. And yeah, you've seen in the elections, the general elections, the people that have shown up for Republicans versus Democrats. I mean, it's been astronomically different.
It's like, I think, and then on top of it, you've got the issue of polls not being accurate, or at least I'm going to say
polls are shit.
Yeah, but I want to be careful with that because it's not all polls are shit. There are certain polls that are not really done. They're not, let's say it's a small group of people, or
it's not realistic, right?
Yeah. And it's, but there are polls out there that are more diverse and they're just more expensive. And so, like, for instance, a lot of the polls right now that are being conducted are being purchased by the Republicans. They're very cheap. And then the then they get, you know, they might say, do you like Joe Biden? Right. And then maybe the answer is no. But they don't follow up with, would you vote for him anyway?
Would you vote for Joe Biden? Yeah.
Right. So, and so all you're getting is, we don't like Joe Biden, and that's the poll. And then it goes to CNN and everybody, and they're like, oh my God, the Democrats are in trouble because nobody likes Joe Biden. So it's like, I want to be very careful to make sure people don't just trash polls. And the reason I say this is because I think that what we're seeing with the media right now, and we'll get into this a little bit more later, but you know, we're seeing this weird bias for the Republicans, and everybody's got their opinions about it, which I have my opinions about it. But I think that we have to be really careful because I have this conspiracy theory, which of course I cannot prove. And I'm not even saying it's an absolute thing, but I feel like Vladimir Putin has absolutely, you know, interfered with democracy. He not just American democracy, that's an important one. And so, you know, the Russians are known, I guess I'm talking about it now, but the Russians are known for blackmailing whoever so that they can get what they want, right? Mm-hmm. So that was all we talked about with Donald Trump. So, and what we're seeing right now with the news media is very frightening. And what I'm seeing people say online is they didn't learn. I don't buy that. Mm. Of course they learned. They understand what they're doing. Mm. And now that we see the State of the Union and Biden behaving the way he is, just energetic and just funny and not, he doesn't have dementia. It's very clear. There has been no real pivot from the news media to say, oh, look at Biden. It's
they're horrible.
We're still getting it. And so I wonder, has anybody gotten to them? Is it solely out of greed?
But is it how can it be across the board except for, like, you know, Jenny Paskey and like Katie Fang and Maddow?
Well, that because I think the way that it would work is that I don't know if it would be individual journalists, but I think that definitely some of the owners of, I mean, I know these oligarchs.
It's got to be at the top.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Lawrence O'Donnell is never going to, you know, do Putin's bidding. But the thing is Lawrence may not be able to talk about certain things that he wants to because the boss says
because
no.
Because of, yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't think
that's far-fetched at all. I think that's, I mean, there's got to be, what is the reason why the media would pivot so heavily to not ever cover the right things? Ever. Exactly.
And you know, this whole thing.
It's not just Fox. It's everybody.
No, it's everybody. And it's. This whole thing of they didn't learn, I don't think that's the correct way to look at it. They did learn.
They learned from their mistakes.
We all understand that when you write about Trump, you get attention. But you also get attention when you write about Biden a certain way. And it doesn't have to be that he's old and we
negative
can't have
way.
Him way. And, you know, and so I think that it's unfortunately, you know, I mean, I don't know. I have no proof of anything. It's just, it seems like you look at it and you're like, why is this happening? Well, that's the first thing that comes into my mind because we know Vladimir Putin has already done this with politicians. So why would he not do it with journalists or with,
it was Fox was just straight. I mean, Tucker got kicked off before Tucker.
Yeah.
He was bad. It was really bad, you know, and now you have the Republican Party, you know, parroting Putin. So you don't even have to go to the media, you know, it's just across the board. And I'm pretty sure he's got his little fingers and things that we don't see. and they have an effect. I mean, look at Elon suppressing Ukraine. I mean, he suppresses the shit out of Ukraine, and it's maddening. It's so maddening. But, you know, it's like, just don't give up, because if we all give up, then, you know, there's no message going across. Even though it's suppressed, it's still being seen. And we have to be the truth seekers, because the media sucks.
Yeah. It really does.
We and are, it's so like, sad. I don't go watch the news for my news, you know? Like, I know. You got to filter through that shit.
Mm-hmm. You got to go to the trusted people. Who are your trusted sources? Who do you listen to, and who do you get your news from?
Well, of course, Allison is like my number
Allison
one.
Allison Gill,
yes. I mean, I never have to think twice. I just automatically retweet what she has, because I know it's a validity. As far as news people too, like Katie Fang, I love Katie. Mm-hmm. Katie's love always her. On it, and she's very honest. And Jenny Pesky, God, she's so good. Yeah. She is. I was like sad when she left the White House, but her show is like a beacon of everything I could ask for. And but as far as like online trusted sources, like Allison, you know, I'm trying to think. God,
well, I'll throw some out there, and that I for pollsters, and I'm gonna push them all the time. Simon Rosenberg, like,
I need to know those, because
Simon Rosenberg and Tom Bonnier are the best ones out there as far as they got Simon the election great. Right. I will say, as far as, you know, it's not print, but, you know, the online sites, The Guardian, I think, is really good. And I trust The Guardian. And I mean, obviously, there are articles in The Washington Post and The New York Times that are not, you know, heavily ridiculously biased. But
you have to. Yeah, you have to cherry pick through those, because.
Right. And so what I was what I also want to bring up is, and I meant to earlier, is that. And this is like another part of it is. If we don't, like, so if Vladimir Putin is indeed, having putting his finger on our press, or having something to do with our press, I see people not trusting the press. And then that worries me, because I feel like if we can't trust our press, I mean, I'm not saying we should automatically just blindly trust them. And right now they're fucking up. But what I'm seeing is, like, I'm wondering if this is all leading to, I think it was, you know, during the 2016 election, we saw Russia both doing a both sides thing for Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. So you have like the pro and the anti, and the same thing with vaccines. So they were pushing pro vaccine. And so it was all to create division. And I think that if you've got a country that isn't trusting our polls, the polls aren't quite as important. But still, if you can't trust the polls, and you can't trust your journalists, media. What do you do? It's chaos.
What do you do?
And that's why I worry that he is doing so, you know, I mean, I don't know, because it could just be that these, you know, oligarchs are so up their own ass, and they want their tax cuts, and they want their access, or whatever it is.
So they're walking the line for
whoever.
They
don't seem to want it. Yeah, they don't want to. They don't seem to want the access for Biden, though. So that doesn't, you know, we say they want access. And
that's
like,
where it doesn't track. That's where it doesn't track at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like they became anti-Biden. That's why we're constantly pushing out content. And I wish that we could push it out onto TVs. Because it would be like so impactful. To just have some correct facts of the matter. Because, you know, I mean, even in like small towns where they still trust their TVs. I was down at my grandmother. My grandmother broke her hip the day after Thanksgiving. She was cleaning the church. She's about to be 91. Yeah, cleaning the church. She missed a step. Anyway, so I got married real quick. I went to DC, got married, went to Christmas holidays, came back. And then in January, at the beginning of January, I flew down to small Cajun country, Louisiana, to help her like come from rehab and to take care of her until, you know, she could be with someone only during the day and didn't need like 24-hour care or whatnot. And so, you know, she watches the news three freaking times a day. And I tell her, like, she was all excited about the new governor's inauguration over there. And then she saw him in a picture with Trump and she goes, "Oh man." She was like, "Fuck that asshole."
Yeah. She called him the orange devil.
She called him the orange devil.
Yeah. I think I actually have it on video and I tweeted it because I thought it was hilarious.
Oh my God. That's fucking funny.
Hey, this is Kimberly, the host of the podcast you're listening to right now. Are you a patron? If you're not, just go to patreon.com/startmeup. Check out all my tiers. I offer a bunch. Choose one and support the show today. Thank you so much.
And we're back. All right. So we had a little technical difficulty before the ad, but whatever. We got to it. Everything is good. I've just got this new system that I'm still trying to, navigate. And at least we're being recorded. So I wanted to bring to your attention too, because this was from The Guardian. It's a story that's coming out today. An American company that paid the now indicted FBI informant Alexander Smirnov in 2020 is connected to a UK company owned by the Trump business associates in Dubai. And Allison Gill said, you know, Alexander Smirnov, Jim Comer's indicted Russian asset, was paid $600,000 by a Trump associate. So that's what it was. And we know that this guy is the one who basically made up the story about Hunter Biden. And then, you know, the House of Representatives starts investigating him. So there's this investigation based on this bullshit that this Russian informant or whatever. Yeah, Russian informant. I mean, I can't fucking get over this. I can't get over what's happening. I feel like I've been saying that since 2017. I can't believe what we're seeing. I think it was Randy Myam Singer said.
The level of craziness gets higher and higher and higher every day.
Yes, yes. And I think it was Randy Myam Singer who she wrote Mrs. Doubtfire. She said something like, I miss the times when I wasn't worried about losing a democracy or something. It's like, really? I mean, I'm just like so out. I can't even think. This is what it does to me. It makes my mind go fucking nuts. And I start like all these like. When I start thinking about what's happening in our country right now, my mind is just kind of overrun with examples. And then I just start like going blah, 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 because I can't
you shut
even
down.
Talk.
You shut yeah. down. What happens is it's overload. It's called overload. There's a certain thing is sensory overload. Right. And that is what happens daily. And that's why we have to pick our battles daily.
Because
yes, if we tried to cover this entire umbrella of shit, none of us would wake up. None of us would do anything because we'd be catatonic.
Oh my God.
It's coming from every direction at 100 miles an hour. It's freaking insanity. I don't know when our break is, Kim. I don't know. I've been waiting for it.
Well, we all thought we had it. And like, we had it for 5 minutes after Biden. It was announced for sure. Biden is the president. Minutes. We were like, woohoo. And then, you know, it didn't take long because it was January 6th. But even before that, we were like freaking out about what was going to happen with Warnock and Ossoff. And then, you know, thankfully they won. But it was like, you know, it was nail biter, nail biter, nail biter all the way. And then finally we get to Inauguration Day. And then, you know, everything fucking goes crazy on January 6th. Well, inauguration was like the 20th or something like that. So, but at least we got to Inauguration Day. But it was very clear at that point. See, I'm telling you, my mind just fucking goes into glitch mode because I just all the things I can't even remember exactly when it all happened. Yeah. And it's like, but I think we had like 5 minutes of peace and then it started all up again. And then it's just been fucking worse because there was an insurrection. And then the way that it's been handled. Oh my God. It's
like, I haven't stopped because I picked up the Ukraine baton and I spent the first year of that war in it. I mean, it has been nonstop at every direction, at every freaking direction. And I don't know when we're going to get to take a deep breath, because hopefully after this election, if we win back everything, can you imagine a working government? We haven't had one in so long that people have no clue what a working government does. And well, I mean, at least Biden... it's a flow and you get bills passed and things happen in short succession. You understand? They do their jobs. And I just want that so bad. Just for at least 4 years.
We saw it for two with Biden. I mean, Biden got a lot accomplished in those first 2 years, but then he lost the House. So, I keep thinking, like, if we don't take the House back, and I hope that we do, but if we don't, then we've got 2026 where we have to keep the House and then get the Senate back.
Yeah, but, it's the same game as last. I would just love, just for 4 years. Just give us a Democrat everything. Let us get some shit done. People will start working with them because they'll be the majority and they'll have no choice to have to make them work together again is the way I feel about it. Yeah. You know, like they're just holding us hostage. The Democrats would not hold us hostage. They would freaking get shit done and they would let you have an input on it, even though you're a Republican.
I mean, just FYI, people, I don't know what's going on, but there's like every once in a while, Skyly starts talking and it gets all garbled. And so we don't remember where we cut off. So we're just picking up. And I know we were talking about the fact that we want 4 years of Democratic rule because that would just be lovely. But you know what I want to ask you? I want to ask your opinion on TikTok. What do you think of where do you stand in the TikTok debate?
I stand in it has to be divested from China. It has to. My husband, he works for Ally, which is like one of the biggest banks. It's an online bank. They do they do financial loan. They do everything. And his job is to keep China out of their systems. I mean, he writes the code. Wow. He sees something. Yeah. So he said from the beginning, no TikTok. And if you notice, I never got big on TikTok. I don't use the platform because he said, Skyly, it's way different when a foreign entity, a hostile foreign entity, is data mining your stuff and setting out algorithms to fit their agenda versus Elon Musk. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though he's whatever. But, and I said, okay. You know, I stayed away from it. And it's true. This is our youth. This is everybody that's on this. And it's very easy to manipulate an algorithm and turn people away that will hurt our democracy and our freedoms. So, they're not saying that they're banning TikTok for freedom of speech. It's not about freedom of speech. It's about a foreign adversary being able to data mine and control everything in that app. So they sell it to somebody here. Now, it's like Allison just posted, she posted something about where Trump's bond came from. And how we really need to pay attention to who's buying TikTok because Kevin O'Leary. exactly. But they will have to also adhere to the rules and regulations of the United States, which China does not have to do.
Exactly. So that's if a Republican buys it, they still have to adhere to the rules of the United States.
Yes.
Which is an important point. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Which is not being done now. Right. So they're not trying to ban freedom of speech and ban TikTok. They are trying to divest it from China to make it safer for our country to use. And that's why a lot of other countries have banned TikTok was because of China. It's not because of freedom of speech.
Yeah.
It's because of who's controlling this and what they're doing and what they're taking. It would be like Russia owning TikTok. Do I need to put it in that kind of comparison? It'd be like Putin owning TikTok. How much does that make? Okay. Right. Yeah. So that's where I feel on the TikTok. Once someone from America buys it, I'll get on it. I'll jump and fly. But I'm really staying away from it right now because I don't want China all up in my stuff.
Yeah.
You know, my husband was really good on that front when he told me that. Because I told him he was ridiculous before I understood.
Well, I'm not on TikTok. I'm not on TikTok because I don't want to be on video all the time. So
and my family's on it too.
I know everyone likes it.
Family role.
Right.
I don't.
Oh my
yeah,
God. Oh my God. It's just, it's crazy. I mean, I think that it'll eventually just, you know, and the thing is that, you know, Bob said to me this morning when we were talking about TikTok, and he said, you know, Democrats and Republicans are coming together on this. So since we're such a divided country and these two parties are so divided, it makes you wonder, do they know something more that they're not telling us? Just because, you know, we've got these two parties coming together in agreement on the TikTok situation.
Well, you know, one thing that the Republicans have never stopped shouting is China, China, China. So, of course, yeah. Yes. Exactly. You know, they won't be defending Putin, but they're still defending our other, you know, they're coming. That's the one thing they come together on is they don't want China yes. in our stuff. And they don't want China yeah. manipulating our stuff. But they're okay with Putin right. doing it, but not China.
Yeah.
So that's why they came together. And at first, before I completely understood it, I was like, what's going on here? And especially when I heard Biden would sign it. Because right. He has a TikTok, and it was a big deal when they launched it. And but people don't understand. They're not banning TikTok. They're divesting it from China, and they want to bring it to America, so it has to fall under American guidelines. And yes. it can be monitored by the proper channels, considering our youth, that's all they do is look mm-hmm. at TikTok. It's not even Facebook anymore. It's TikTok.
No.
Everything is TikTok.
Yeah, kids are no longer interested in Facebook. I mean, I'm barely interested in Facebook. I still have my page.
It's ridiculous.
I know. Oh, I still have my page.
I announced yeah. I got married. That was it. I mean, you know. I started happy birthdays. That's about it.
I started posting some political stuff just to see, because I know they are squashing political content. And I mean, I know better than anybody because I used to be a political blogger in like 2013 and it was like 2012, 2013. Writing. Yeah, it was just like if it was viral, man, it was organic and it just went crazy. And then you could see once Zuckerberg decided to change the algorithm and all that, everything changed. Every single blogger, political blogger, saw the difference in I don't know when it started. It might have started in like 2014 or something like that. I mean, it's plummeted. And I can tell you the blog that it was Liberals Unite. So we had maybe four or five writers, and I don't know how many blogs we would put out every day, but let's just say, you know, we did an average of like 7 to 10 articles per day. And we would see anywhere between 300,000 to 500,000 downloads of all, you know, combined. And then same number of writers, same number of articles, you know, maybe a year later. And it went from like maybe say 400,000 views per day to like 100,000 views per day. Mm-hmm. And then in 2018, when everything basically fell apart, we were probably getting about 35,000 views a day. Now, granted, it was no longer four people, but we were still putting out a decent amount of articles per day, and it was just, oh my God, it just tanked. So you could see the difference when the algorithms are screwed with and they don't want you to see certain content.
Oh, my biggest see is Zelensky's videos, the right. suppression on those before mm-hmm. Musk took over, because I was the one, you know, like on top of the war. Before he was making his own videos, he was recording them, and then another media source was putting them out daily. Right. And so I would put out his daily, you know, not speech, but whatever he tells Ukraine and the world, he tells them every day before, like every day he gives a recount or a recap yeah. of what's recap, going on. Yeah. And I'm telling you, like, the views, like, he'll put out a video and it used to get millions of views and mm-hmm. I just watch it sputter. And I'm right. like, damn you, Elon. Even when we go hard with veteran stuff for, mm-hmm. you know, we've been screaming about aid for Ukraine, you know, since the beginning, but we've been screaming extra loud since I'd say, you know, right before I got married around September, October. And me and Sarah from Boat Beds, we get so angry because we mm-hmm. know that we're not getting the views because he's suppressing it. I mean, it's so apparent that he's suppressing Ukraine yeah. stuff. All you have to do is watch yeah. Zelensky's videos sputter. And some of them are so good they get away from him. But yeah. most of them, I look and I go, how is my video of something not like this got more mm-hmm. views than this. This doesn't yeah. make any sense. And then I was like, okay, well, it's, you know, it's not a conspiracy theory. I know for sure Elon is suppressing mm-hmm. stuff about Ukraine.
Yes, I've seen it.
Yeah. I'm an analyst. I watch everything by nature. And that has been the most maddening thing, is to watch it go from huge reach to nothing. Uh-huh. So you're absolutely wow. right. It's about who controls it. But uh-huh. don't give up on your side of the messaging, because you never know who right. sees it. You never know what goes down. If we all run away because they think they want to control everything, then they will. Uh-huh. So exactly. we're getting stuck to like be the bigger people and just yeah, keep pushing we have to get back.
Yeah, we have to get the information out there. We have to be encouraging. I mean, I noticed mm-hmm. that, you know, I do try to practice this and preach it as well. But I feel like, you know, I mean, you were saying earlier that you're feeling really confident. And I think it's important that as a collective, you know, we have to recognize the potential out there to win, instead of mm-hmm. focusing on, oh, we're going to lose. We always lose, which we don't, because Democrats have literally been mm-hmm. winning since Donald Trump was installed.
Yeah.
But we've been winning consistently. The media yep. tells us a different
only more
story.
And more and more.
Yeah. Oh. More and more and more. And then we hear a different story from the media, and then people feel they get really jaded, and then they go on to this negative thing. And it's like, don't allow those biased opinions to affect your mood, because it's like, energy is contagious. When you're mm-hmm. feeling low, that rubs off onto people. When you're feeling up, that rubs off onto people. And so it's like, I think it's important to put out an optimistic message, because people are hungry for it. We're always hearing the cynical message. And yeah. I mean, you know, I can be absolutely
always beating down the bad side, because yeah. we're always in a fight. Exactly. Yeah,
or we feel discouraged, or we feel like, you know, when are we going to win, or whatever. We have been winning. I just want to remind everybody, but I just go back to Kamala Harris's, you know, in the inauguration. She said, democracy is not a given. We have to fight for it all the time. We don't just get to sit back and relax. We can't afford that. And even when everything is thriving, even if we've got Democratic, you know, if we're fortunate enough. Or even pre-Trump. Obviously, we were not paying attention enough. And
no, we were
happened.
All asleep at the wheel. All of us were asleep mm-hmm. at the wheel. I don't care what we say. I was asleep at the wheel.
I mean, of course, there's always going to be some junkies. There's always going to be the political junkies who vote. But we need a much bigger portion of the country awake and paying attention. And so, you know, I mean, that's the thing. And now a lot more people are paying attention there. And what you said about abortion, I mean, I said that I knew if they killed Roe, I almost wanted them to, even though I didn't want them to, because I knew
yes,
people were going to fucking
because
die.
Because we knew we would get it back. We know we're going to get yeah. it back. But yeah. it's like they went so far. And to me, it was like, remember how we talked about last time we were talking about birth control? And I'm like, go mm-hmm. for it. You want to see a bunch exactly. of people go crazy? You know, that'll change very quickly. Well, they went all the way to damn IVF. Like, these are horrible things, but it's waking up yeah. people that have not been awake. And
right.
say we're woke. Okay, that's great. Sure, yeah. I'm awake, motherfucker. Yeah, and I'm proud of it, okay? Because I'm not sitting in the dark watching my country just fall on top of me, you yeah. know? I know what's going on, and you wouldn't believe, like in Louisiana, you know, it was the whole border. Mm-hmm. They need to fix the border. And I said, oh my gosh, guys, this is the real deal, you know? And explain to them.
Right.
And they were like, well, that's just dumb. You know, like they have a fix for the border, but Trump has nothing to campaign on. They right. showed that fake trucker video of all the truckers that convoyed in 20
yes.
for Corona. Okay. That was on Fox News. Okay.
Wow.
So the contractor that was working on my grandma's house in small Cajun country, He tells me, well, my friend told me that Biden hates veterans and has done nothing for veterans. And I was like, hold the damn phone.
Yeah.
I mean, I have pretty much like his main accomplishments already like ingrained into my soul. So I was like, da 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 da.
Yeah.
And da 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 da. And he's like, he knew, like, from hanging out with me, because he worked at my grandma's house for like 3 weeks. He knew, like, I was like a person of validity. Like, I spoke from facts and not my ass. And I told him that. And then I explained that the trucker video was from 20. And he goes, oh, my God. And I said, just watch. I go, our president is trying to do everything he can, executive order, everything he can to get something done at the border. As like, it's the Republicans. They will not give way because they have absolutely nothing for Trump to run on, even though this isn't even something good for him to run on. Because now what has everybody seen? They've literally seen Trump say no and the House do nothing while they scream emergency crisis, millions and millions. And my one of my family members said, where are all these millions and millions? She said, I sure haven't seen any. And I live in Texas and I haven't seen any. Like, you know, they're getting it. They're getting it, but they have to have that bit of reality come in because their local news is tailored to whatever political agenda is run by the state, i.e. Louisiana, i.e. Republicans. Those are the ones who are promoted, not the other way around.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, it is insane. I'm just gonna end this on the positive note because I think, you know, I always like to ask gauge people's opinions on where we are. And you said it immediately. You're feeling really good about it. And I'm feeling good about it. Bob is feeling good about it. Don't get happy, people. You know,
I'm not getting complacent.
But it's just, it's good to feel optimistic. You know, take your optimistic attitude and then go do something. You know, whatever it is, post something, you know, share something, make some phone calls. I mean, you don't have to do it right now, but when the time comes. But there's so many things. And I love the idea. And I'm going to try to remember this, to say this as often as possible. But had David Pepper on last week, and he was saying, you know, like, if you are in any kind of a sports center, or if you work, you volunteer at a soup kitchen, or if you're working in a library or whatever the deal is, if you've got this space that could be registering voters, talk to the people at top and, you know, and say, hey, could we get a registry in here? And that's something that, you know, a lot of people feel weird knocking on doors, but, you know, you could go up to the people in the library and go, hey.
I knock on doors for many years.
Yeah, I mean, but it makes people feel uncomfortable now. Yeah, it is dangerous, and it's understandably, you know, not everybody is so social and feels comfortable doing that. So
yeah,
but you, that's very true. And the nice thing is if you go up to your, you know, local library or rec center or whatever it is, and you talk to the people in charge, you're not saying, can we get Democratic votes in here? You're just registered to vote. It's nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. Nobody has to know what side of the aisle you're on, and it's just pro-democracy. And so, you know, keep in mind that we can do this. And I just want everybody to feel, I mean, you're feeling that optimism. So am I. So are a lot of us. But there's also a lot of people out there who are just solely listening to the naysayers and the people that are just trying to fuck with your head. You know, yeah, there is danger at the door, and we all have to be aware of what's happening. But we are in a winning position, and it's only getting better for us because Trump is getting worse. He can't speak anymore.
And he has
anymore.
All of his court cases coming up. His court cases are bad. Everything is this year. It's going to feel like a 5-alarm fire, but. Yeah. It's we keep pushing the positive and registering voters, just like you said, and keep people aware of the danger. Yeah. That's all we can do. And you know, I'm super positive, but I'm also not complacent, and I'm not naive.
Yeah.
You know, and I also understand that this is actually, you know, one of our home stretch marathons where we put in a lot of work. And like all the other off years, you feel like you're putting in a lot of work, but then you come to election year and this presidential election year, and everybody goes to town and everybody comes together. Yeah. And I just really hope that still carries on across. You know, Alyssa Milano had a wonderful, wonderful group for Biden in 2020, and you know, we've only built up in those spaces, and a lot of, you know, actors and musicians and everyone's getting involved for democracy. Mm-hmm. And I think that that also, people love seeing celebrities be positive about the government or be positive about the president. And I think that if we come together, like you said, as a collective and just keep going, you know, this is going to be, it's not easy.
No.
You can't take a day off.
It's not easy. No. But you can you take a little time off. You can take a little time off. Take a nap. Watch a funny movie. Do something like
rejuvenate. I mean, I had a wedding. That's about it. I went from congratulations to a wedding.
And of course, I mean, I congratulated you online, but I didn't congratulate you at the top of the show. So congratulations.
Oh, yes. And you were wondering how I got a letter signed from the president.
That was so cool. That was so cool.
It's because I work with his White House political strategy team, and I worked with them for a long time. But when I went up with Vote Vets in October, I actually went and spoke with the National Security Council. So, like the big wigs, right? And I got to meet them, and the White House political strategy office has a wonderful leader, and it's females. And, you know, I love everybody, but I get along with everybody. And so they made sure that the president got that to me. It was amazing. It was even dated on our actual wedding date.
Wow. That's so amazing. Wow.
I thought they were going to, they were like, the White House is going to send you something. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, they can't send gifts.
Right.
I don't think they can. So I wonder what we're going to get. And I'd be damned if it's not from his damn stationery, from his desk.
Wow.
And
that's so cool.
Precious, near and dear to our hearts. Like, we were just, I'm like, I don't care if someone made him do it. He had to physically go and look at my name. And so, he had to consciously write that, you know? Right. So that's how I got it. So and it's framed next to our wedding certificate. Aww. So,
awesome.
Good.
That's so cool. Yeah. All right. Well, just like with everyone, I always say, you know, before I let you go, tell everybody where they can find you.
Well, I do my good trouble on Twitter, and it is at SKY_LEE_1, and that is where I roll right now.
Awesome. Well, I have your information in the Patreon description of this show, so everybody check that out, follow Skyly. And then if you're, I mean, I know not everyone's on Twitter, but I'm not going to name all the places because you could just freaking write my name, Kimberly A or Kimberly Ann Johnson, and it's L-E-Y. Don't forget that L-E at the end of my name, because it's not L-Y. Thanks, Mom, making it just that much harder for everybody. But it's always good talking to you, and
I love you. It's always so much. We have the best. Thank you, Kimberly. We have the best conversations. We have these conversations offline as well, just so people know, like, this is not for the show. This is how we roll.
This is how we roll. All right, Skyly, thank you so much. It was such a good time talking to you.
Thank you, love.